Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Amen. I'm so glad that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. I'm so glad that we can bask in his presence and know that he's here in our very midst. You know, that is such an honor, you know, when you think of it. I mean, as we were singing, his name is Jesus, the God that we serve, King of kings and Lord of lords. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, oh yes, that thou would visit him. But yet our God put on flesh to come to this earth to save us from our sins.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, the song of the redeemed, it begins right now. But oh my, forever in heaven. Praise the Lord as we worship and as we realize how our God bought us, sought us first, and then he bought us in such a way. And oh my, redeemed us with his blood. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be such a moment when we all get home and see our God and know that he's with us. So praise the Lord. Know that he's been with us. Know what he's done. I mean, honestly, oh, we just don't really fully comprehend it, I feel, right now. But one of these days, it's going to be clear. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We do have a visitor tonight. Brother Tim managed to come down, so he is here with us, and we're just going to pretend he's here to stay. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And I will say, I did have a rough night. My lower back was out, and anyway, I could hardly walk, to tell you the truth, especially last night in the middle of the night. I had to hug the walls real tightly, and it was kind of scary. It was pretty hard to get back to bed. So anyway, I thank God. I did seek out my chiropractor today, and he helped me. The Lord helped me. You know, so I was noticing it's easier for me to go upstairs right now. You know, I'm going to have to be a little careful, I think. But anyway, it's getting better. Amen. Thank the Lord, and thank you for your prayers. We serve an amazing God. And, oh, wow. You know, what a privilege to take it all to him. I mean, honestly, we get in these jams. like my back was jammed, it seemed, you know. And I mean, who's going to help us? You know, crying out. And sometimes there is actually literally nobody at hand. And as far as a human being goes. But thank the Lord, he knows how to help us. And I have witnessed him do some amazing, wonderful things. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you that your eyes are on the sparrows and so much more, your people, Lord. Oh, God, you sought us and you bought us, Lord. You redeemed us. Oh, God, here we are tonight, Lord. Oh, God, drawing near to you, Lord. Oh, realizing that you put us in heavenly places with you, Lord. Oh, God, for when we worship you, your presence comes down. And you come and you sup with us, Lord. You draw nigh to us if we draw nigh to you, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would talk tonight. Oh, God, you know the reason for this message. I pray that it will accomplish that which, oh Lord, you have brought it into being for, Lord. Oh God, that it would accomplish that which you please. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord, that the devil be rebuked. Let him have no place here, Lord. I pray that you take me, Lord. I know, oh, I have very little ability of my own, Lord. But oh God, you know how to use us as human beings. I pray that you'd use me here tonight, Lord, that your word would go forth with power, with unction from on high, Lord. Oh, God, that you take this little bit and make it what you would have it to be. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I am going to plan to go to Isaiah 66 here tonight. But before I begin there in Isaiah 66, let's go to 1 Samuel 4. Oh my, okay. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. First Samuel 16. Praise our God. I don't know how many times the Lord just helps me to open up to the exact text. Praise God. Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I'm not going to read a great portion of this, I don't think. But anyway, I just want to bring forth a certain point here from this. The title of my message tonight is, To This Man Will I Look. So here in 1 Samuel 16, let's read a little bit. Here we have Samuel the prophet, and he's come to Bethlehem, and God has told him to go. No more mourning for Saul, but, you know, he told him to go find Jesse, the man from Bethlehem, and that, you know, one of his sons he should anoint to be king, the king that would be down the road. And so here they see Samuel coming, and there's some apprehension because, you know, wow, are you coming peacefully, Samuel? Or, you know, I mean, you know, there was a certain sense of caution here and just not knowing the reason why he came. So anyway, they asked, verse 4, comest thou peaceably? And he said in verse 5, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And verse 6 tells us, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But God had a little talk with Samuel, and this is what the Lord said unto Samuel, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we know that he called the other sons, and you know, Abinadab passed by, and Shammah, and the other sons, and, you know, none of them were the one that Samuel was to anoint. And finally he said, you know, are there not any more sons? I mean, you know, where is he, you know? And he realized that the youngest son was out in the sheepfold tending the sheep. And of course, Samuel had them call for David. And praise the Lord, he came, and Samuel realized that he was the one to be anointed. Praise the Lord. But the point that I want us to realize here at the moment is that God does not look on the outward man. He looks on the heart. He doesn't see as man seeth. He's looking for what's deep inside, the real thing about every individual, what really is that person all about? What's deep inside? What are they made of? And yes, it's very telling here because, yeah, it wasn't the countenance that mattered in this situation. It wasn't the height of the stature, but it was what was in the heart. Amen. And you know, as we live this life, what's going to matter when we stand before God on that great day of the Lord? Oh, so many things that people make priorities in their lives as they live on this earth will not matter when one stands before God. No, because he has been searching the heart and he has been seeking that individual who is available to humble himself before God. Oh, yes, to repent, to turn one's life over, and has that great desire within. Oh, yes, to be right with God more than any other priority. Oh, yes, that need to seek the kingdom of God first, before everything else, knowing that all these things shall be added unto us. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66 now. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. There's always so much in a chapter. So we'll see how the Lord leads in a while. We accomplished the whole chapter tonight. I'm not sure, but we'll see. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. It begins in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. And I'm going to just pause here for a moment here. You know, we know that it was the desire of David as he became king of Israel to build God a house, a temple. Oh, he so greatly desired that. But, you know, he was told, Nathan the prophet did come to him and tell him that because of circumstances in his life, he'd been a man of war and so on, that it wasn't God's will that he would build the temple. But there was a promise that his son would build a temple. Amen. And David gathered many things, realizing, yes, by faith, someday that temple would be built. And yes, even though it wouldn't be by his hands, it would be by his son's hands. And praise the Lord, he gathered many things toward that end. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. I just want to turn here a moment to Acts, the 7th chapter. The 7th chapter of Acts deals with a sermon that Stephen, one of the 7 deacons, preached before they stoned him. And it's a history, actually, of the people of Israel. But I just want to note some of these things he actually quoted here from Isaiah 66 in this portion of Scripture. I'm going to start here with, let's make it verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. And of course, the tabernacle in the wilderness was a dwelling place for God, and it was very significant, because in that time period, the presence of the Lord rested in that ark of the covenant. And yes, you know, it was important. God would talk to them through that means. And so that tabernacle was very significant at that point. And of course, very precise, exact instructions were given unto Moses, telling him just how it should be built. And he followed through with that. Goes on to say in verse 45 here in Acts, the 7th chapter, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found a favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. And as we just related, you know, that was a very great desire within his being. But God did not permit it. So therefore, his son, Solomon, as it tells us in verse 47, but Solomon built him a house. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it did get accomplished, but, you know, not in the time while David was yet alive. And then there's an important verse here in 48. It goes, howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. And then he's going to quote from Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? Oh, he didn't mix words, Stephen, as he was bringing forth this message. And oh, yes, those Jewish leaders were very, very upset with what he had said. Oh, it tells us in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Of course, they couldn't bear that. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Praise the Lord. Well, this very stirring message, oh, he brought it to mind that our Most High God, he doesn't need a temple to dwell in. Oh, so many people build edifices, and they might call them a cathedral or some kind of church, so often it isn't dedicated to God in truth. And it does more harm than good. It's not right. Besides, God does not need a building to dwell in. You can't box up God and say he's going to be in this temple, and therefore, that's where we come to call on him. No, the plan of God is far greater than that. Oh, yes, he said, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. He came to dwell in the hearts of his people. Praise the Lord to make us a temple, a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And we don't have to be in a church building in order to worship the Lord, to find the Lord, or any of that. Praise the Lord, because he comes to dwell in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Going back here to Isaiah 66, it tells us the second part of verse 2. All these edifices, all these buildings, what do they really mean? He says, however, second part of verse 2, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Oh, praise the Lord. That is what he's looking for. He's looking for an attitude in the heart. Praise the Lord. Poor mean humble. Isn't it amazing? He started the Sermon on the Mount with, Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, yes, he's talking about people who humble themselves, who have that meek kind of attitude, not full of pride in oneself, but no, there's a meekness, there's a humility. Oh, yes, poor in spirit. And then he said, of a contrite spirit. And there, the word contrite indicates that this is a remorseful, repentant spirit, a life that is ashamed of the things that were done, that, oh, were abominable in the sight of God, that were wrong in the eyes of God. And then he says, and trembleth at my word. In other words, that individual who takes the word of God and does not take it lightly, but takes it to heart and realizes the need to fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. For if we do not, the rock will grind us to powder. Oh, that day when he comes back to judge his people and to judge the world in righteousness. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so this is what God is looking for. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Oh, that's what our God is looking for. So often, you know, people just look on the surface and put on a front so often. And, you know, they might have done offenses. They might be living in sin. There may be all kinds of things that have been wrong in their lives and still wrong. And they might try to appease that by doing works. You know, maybe more Hail Marys. Maybe just kneeling a bit longer. Oh, yes, maybe putting more in the offering plate, or, you know, just showing up a little earlier for church. Whatever all, but you know, God looks on the heart. And what people do, you know, for show, God clearly knows. You can't make up for it by trying to, you know, put on a front. I believe that's called a hypocrite. An actor, if you know that's your situation, that's how you know how you're going forth to put on this show and this display. You know, the Pharisees were very good at that. You know, they had their long robes on, and, you know, they looked like they were holy to many people marching around. But, oh, the Lord Jesus saw right through them, and he knew what was in their hearts. And, oh, yes, what was inside, and it was despicable. It was ungodly. Oh, they had taken the word of God, and they had, you know, translated or used it for their own thinking to make it sound the way that they thought they wanted it to be told. And so these things were not right, and God sees right through it. Amen. And this is how he looks at that kind of person that is putting on a display. Verse 3 here in Isaiah 66 tells us, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Oh my, you know, you can do those things for a show. And here in the time of the old covenant, you know, yes, they had need to offer sacrifices. But regardless of how many sacrifices they offered, if their heart was not right, if they were not doing it for the right reason, it was of no avail. God saw right through it. It was in vain. Because, yes, they had chosen their own ways. And their soul delighted in their abominations. An abomination is something that God despises, something that he hates. And oh my, you know, you can offer all the sacrifices that you want to offer. But boy, if you're doing it and still living in your sin, delighting in your abominations, walking in your own ways, it doesn't hit the heart of God. It's in vain. Oh my, he sees right through those things. Amen. And therefore it tells us in verse 4, I also will choose their delusions. Oh, yeah, so they can't judge rightly. So they don't know right from wrong. And this is the world that we're seeing right now. It seems to me they don't know what is right. And they don't know what is wrong. And, you know, they put evil for good and good for evil, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And, oh, it goes on and on. Their pretenses is, you know, they make a show of it and try to act like, you know, they're really a good person, you know, and maybe even a Christian, you know, and all that sort of thing. But God said, I also will choose their delusions. Oh, yes, so that, yeah. And then they have this front, they think something. They think they're all right. And how many people die, and, you know, everybody puts them in heaven. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to put anybody in heaven or hell, but God is going to make that choice. He's going to know exactly what they have done and what their heart was all about. So he says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. All those things that they dreaded, all will come upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Oh, that call of God. When he calls us, that still small voice that tells us, mend your ways. Get right with God. Repent. Turn from that sin. Stop doing it. But so many people ignore that call to repentance. Do not answer. God speaks, and they ignore it. They do not hear, so it seems, and keep on going in their evil ways. But they did evil before mine eyes. And look at that. They chose that in which I delighted not. Oh, deliberately doing things that God hates. Oh, my, not a good way to be by any means. No, that day is coming when God is going to judge the hearts. Amen. He's searching the hearts even now. And listen, if you have not yet gotten, if you've not yet gotten your heart right with God, I beseech you to do it now. Amen. Stop putting it off. You know, I had the privilege of talking to a young man a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I just thank God. His name was Brian. And Brian, if you're on tonight, forgive me if I'm doing a personal reference. But anyway, you know, I just thank God. I had the privilege of speaking with him and praying with him. And, you know, I just got a letter from him. And, you know, he was just saying how backslidden he had been and how he had turned away from God. But I thank God the Lord has gotten a hold of his heart. And oh my, he was telling me how he was crying out, how he's praying and fasting and turning his life over to the Lord. The beautiful thing about that is no matter how evil we've been, how many mistakes we have made, we have a God that is so willing to forgive and to forget. Oh yes, as we come to him in repentance and turn our lives over to God, he is so willing, oh yes, to take that past, to take those sins. Oh yes, he put it upon himself there on the cross. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. And yes, we obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And oh yes, that penalty of sin is remitted in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. And we have a promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in our very being. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't put that off. No, get right with God now. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So as this chapter continues here, Isaiah, through the voice of the Lord, is now going to address them that tremble at the word of God. Praise the Lord. And this is pretty neat here. He says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Oh my, you know, Jesus has said that we would be hated of all men for his name's sake. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 22. Yes, and we know, you know, Saul of Tarsus, when he was persecuting Christians, he was thinking that he was doing God's will. Godspeed, you could say. He was thinking that, you know, it was right. But oh, what an awakening he had when God interrupted him on that road to Damascus, that bright light that shone, and oh my, he was never the same again. No, praise the Lord. Ananias came to tell him the words of life. Oh yes, as he turned everything over to the Lord and realized he was persecuting God, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, that voice, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Amen. That's what he was doing. He was kicking against the pricks. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh my, here is this reference. And those that cast you over my name's sake. You know, that was an interesting phenomenon in the time of Jesus. I know Brother Samuel referred to John, the 9th chapter, some on Sunday. And anyway, you know, there's reference to the man that was born blind from his birth that Jesus healed. And, you know, when, you know, the Pharisees were all upset and, you know, they began to, you know, say, you know, how did this happen? And, you know, who is this? And, you know, interrogate, you know, everybody to find out details. They went to the parents of this man who had been healed. And the parents did not want to say much at all because, you know, they realized that if they identified with Jesus Christ, that they would be kicked out of the synagogue. Oh my, oh, you can't be kicked out of the synagogue, can you? But I'll tell you what, that man who was born blind, oh yes, when he realized that it was Jesus Christ and what he had done, oh, he asked, he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, here in the 9th chapter of the book of John, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And that man, oh, he was so touched. His life was never going to be the same. And he said in verse 38, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Oh, praise the Lord, he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be blind." But what had happened, because this man who had been born blind was willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ, he was kicked out of the synagogue. Oh my, but see, you know, he found the Savior. And what did it matter anymore? Oh my, you know, it's just building anyway. No, our God doesn't dwell in temples made with man's hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, no. He's looking for that heart. Amen. That will surrender to him and be right with him and acknowledge that he is Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. And God of gods. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. A brief reference here to John, the 12th chapter. It tells us, as Jesus is teaching in that chapter, that there are many chief rulers, verse 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." You see that fear that gripped them? Oh, fear is a handicap. Oh, man, it keeps us from doing many things that we need to be doing. It just holds to a person and, you know, it brings about all those "I can't" or "I won't" or whatever all. That terrible fear that paralyzes people. Well, there were many that would not go forth and confess that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, which means the anointed one, because no, they did not want to be kicked out of the synagogue. Oh, how many people are held back in this time period, you know, because they like their church status. You know, they like to be called a brother or a sister by those in that church. And even though that truth is not spoken there, and, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy and vain worship, but, you know, they want to hold on to it because they don't want to be kicked out. Oh, Lord Jesus, please help us. Amen. Help us, Lord Jesus. Anyway, going back here, Isaiah 66, verse 5 again. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. Oh, man, you know, I'm doing God's speed. Let the Lord be glorified. It's in mocking. You know, honestly, there's no weight to that. But to those that tremble at his word, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. And oh yes, it tells about a time yet to come. Verse 6, a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Oh, as he comes back, that payback day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, yes, when every eye is going to see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. When he comes back, oh, yes, that's payday. When all stand before him as he stands there to render recompense to his enemies. Oh, how we want to be right with God on that moment, at that time. Oh, yes, we don't know when he's coming. He's going to come as a thief in the night. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be unannounced. But he's coming. He's coming one of these days. And how we want to be ready. Our lamps trimmed in burning oil, yes, for those lamps so that they will not go out. Amen. Amen. Let's continue here in Isaiah 66. It tells us in verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And it says in verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Oh, praise the Lord. That travail, Jesus travailed for his people. Jesus was travailing in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, yes, as he realized what was to follow, how he had been betrayed and how they would come and take him. He knew the end of it. He knew that he would give his life, that he would take on the sins of the world. Why did he do it? Let's turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, a very special portion of scripture here. As we look at this chapter, let's go to the last three verses. This is why he travailed. Oh, that's why he went through Gethsemane. Oh, yes, he prayed as it were great drops of blood. It was so intense. Oh, if it be thy will, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Oh, if it be thy will, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He knew what was going to come to pass. Nevertheless, thy will, not mine, be done. Oh, he knew so well what was all in the making. And oh my, it wasn't easy for him. He was human. He knew they were going to hang him on that cross. And in the midst of all of that, he was going to take on the sins of the world upon himself. He who knew no sin was going to take our sin, something that he despised, something that he hated, something that he couldn't bear. He was going to die for us that we might give our sins over to him. Oh, yes, and be forgiven. Praise the Lord, what a price was paid for our redemption, our salvation, so that we could go to heaven. Praise the Lord, so that we can forever be with the Lord. Praise our God. Here in Isaiah 53, it tells us in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And I love this portion of scripture. It's so beautiful. It tells us in verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why he was willing to go to the cross. In fact, that's why he came to this world. That's why he put on flesh. Oh, yes, to come to this world as a human being. Praise the Lord, because he was going to make his soul an offering for sin. But in doing so, he was going to bring forth. He was going to bring forth a seed. He was going to bring forth children. He was going to bring forth sons and daughters. He was going to bring forth you and I. Yes. There on the cross, that's why he did it. He could see his seed. He saw his people. He knew there was a purpose behind what he was doing. And he was going to prolong his days because his children would take the word and they would spread it. They would bring it. They would bring it forth. Oh, yes, and the gospel would spread. Oh, yes, by means of his children, praise the Lord, therefore prolonging his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Oh, his delight in his children, his jewels. Oh, when I make up my jewels, you know, my children, those that serve me, those that have given their lives for my sake, those that have overcome, praise the Lord, he saw of the travail of his soul. And it says, and shall be satisfied by this knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Praise the Lord. That's what it was all about. Jesus coming to this world to bring forth children. And yes, there was a travail. Oh yes, you don't bring forth children in the natural sense without travail. And so it was in the spiritual sense. There was this travail that came forth. Oh, he was travailing in Gethsemane. Oh, yes, as he knew what was coming upon him and the price that he would have to pay. But oh my, he knew there was a reason for it. He was going to bring forth his children. Praise the Lord, and it satisfied him. Praise the Lord. Oh, it was his pleasure. Oh, he could see his seed and shall be satisfied. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you love him tonight? Oh, thank you, God, for such a great gift. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, Jesus travailed for us. Oh, yes, in so doing, to bring us forth, to bring forth his children. And you know, as his children, there is a travail of our soul, too. In fact, there is a travail of the creation. If we go to Romans, the 8th chapter, we can read a little bit about this. Oh, yes, Paul is writing here to the Romans in chapter 8 here. It tells us, looking at verse 18 to begin here, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Oh, isn't that something already? You know, yeah, life has its ups and downs. We have our struggles. We have our trials. We have our tests. We may be suffering persecution and all kinds of difficult things. Oh, maybe, you know, our faith is sometimes, you know, just shaky. But he tells us, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." Oh, that day when it's all revealed, it's all made manifest at that moment. And verse 20 says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Oh, praise the Lord, what we have to look forward to. Oh, this flesh, this bondage. Oh, this time period when all this corruptible is going to put on incorruptible. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of the eye at the last trump. Amen. Praise our God. Verse 22 tells us, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." And oh boy, is it groaning at this point? I believe, yes, God's handiwork realizes, what man has put upon him, the price of sin. And then here we're seeing, I believe, the very latter end as this earth is groaning. And, you know, the price of pollution and everything else has been dumped upon it. And, you know, oh man, it's, you know, not what it used to be. Due to man's folly, man's sin. Oh, yes, it's sin that put all this upon even the earth. So, yes, he's talking about the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And then he says in verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Oh, praise the Lord. Do we have hope in the Lord? Are we looking for a city which hath foundations, whose ruler and maker is God? Are we looking for that blessed hope in the Lord Jesus? Oh, yes, when our incorruptible, this corruptible shall be made incorruptible. Praise the Lord. And then it talks about the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. Verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Praise the Lord. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God. But you know, there are times of travail, all the burdens of life, the need to see our loved ones saved. Oh, yes, you have fulfillment in the Word of God, to see the works of the Lord fulfilled in our lives, to go forth and do the will of God. And there is that intercession that we make, all that travail of the soul. And it's so often words are not adequate. We don't even know how to pray. I thank God the Spirit takes over. The Holy Ghost takes over. Oh, yes, those tongues. Praise the Lord as though we pray in other tongues. Oh, yes, as the Spirit maketh intercession according to the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I've seen great changes. Oh, yes. Oh, through such a gift that the Lord has given us. Oh, the intercession for the saints. Praise the Lord. Oh, by the Spirit of the living God. But yes, there's a travail. The earth is travailing. And yes, we as the body of Christ, as the children of God, are also in travail, looking for that day when, oh yes, we will be redeemed. Oh, that flesh, this mortal, will be changed, amen, and put on immortality. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. How different it will be. But oh yes, Jesus paid such a price, that travail of his soul. Oh yes, he came to earth with that goal. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. It means Savior, Hoshua. For he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, John the Baptist cried, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's why he came, the Messiah. Praise the Lord, the Holy One of God, the Son of God. Oh, God, robed in flesh, coming to this world to bring forth his children. Oh, praise the Lord, his sons and his daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. And because of that, we can rejoice. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 10 here, Isaiah 66. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Oh, praise the Lord. That joy that he puts within our beings. Oh, as we long for that. Oh, yes. They longed for the Messiah there in the time of the Old Covenant. Oh, those that prophesied of him, they, you know, they looked forward to it. And then that realization that, you know, it was for another people that would see that moment when the Messiah would come forth. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus, he told the people that were with him, always, particularly those that followed him, that their eyes were blessed. Oh, yes, to see the things that they had seen. Oh, yes, to hear the things that they had seen. And he talked about how, yes, many kings and prophets had desired that day and had not seen them. And, oh, they desired to hear it and had not heard them. But, wow, praise the Lord, he came. And we live on that other side. Oh, that side where our Savior has come. And praise the Lord, we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. Praise the Lord. So thank the Lord. There's a rejoicing. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Oh, the good things that God hath prepared for them that love him. For thus saith the Lord here in verse 12. Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. Oh, praise the Lord. This, you know, this word picture here, you know, as the Lord sees his people. And oh, what was he, oh, doing? He was extending peace to his people. Oh, yes, as I turn to John, the 14th chapter here for a moment here. Oh, that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, Jesus said, John, the 14th chapter, verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. It's in God's hands, folks. You give it over to the Lord. He's in control. He knows the number of our days. He has it figured out. It's going to be okay if we're in the Lord. And he sends forth that peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord, what a blessing we have, because it is so true, the world looks for peace. It clamors for peace. Oh, it talks about peace. They have peace treaties and all sorts of things like that. But that peace is vulnerable. It is shaky. It may last for 2 minutes and, you know, be diminished entirely. And it's nothing compared to the peace that Jesus gives. Oh, that peace is down in our heart when we know it's all right. You know, we've got his peace. Yeah, and he's going to be all right. You know, he stills the storms in our lives. He leads us by his hands. He makes a way. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for that peace. So, yes, you know, it says again, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Oh, Jesus talked about that river. Oh, you know, John, the 7th chapter, Jesus was saying, verse 37, 38, and 39. John 7, 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he has this water for his people to drink out of the innermost being, out of the belly, in other words. These rivers flow, this living water. It tells us in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. No, it wasn't going to fall until he had ascended back into heaven. Praise the Lord. But yes, it came forth on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, it came forth. The Holy Ghost came forth. Oh, after Jesus was glorified. In other words, received up into glory. And oh, he spake this, you know, concerning those that would believe on him. Praise the Lord. With the promise that this is what they shall receive, the Holy Ghost. Wasn't yet given yet. And it's going to be, oh yes, it's going to come out of your belly. Praise the Lord. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, praise the Lord, you can't beat it. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, not only did the Lord Jesus come to this earth to die for our sins, but oh my, he gave up the ghost on that cross. Praise the Lord, he gave it up, but you know what? He sent it back. A ghost is a spirit of a departed one. And praise the Lord, yes, you know, Jesus departed. In that sense. But oh my, the day of Pentecost, he sent back the Holy Ghost, his Spirit. His Spirit that comes to live in the inner beings of his people, to change us, to transform us, to make us his creatures. Praise the Lord. It is for he that believeth on me. Praise the Lord. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. How can you dispute it? Amen. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Going back here to Isaiah 66. Again, 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck. Ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. Oh, praise the Lord, as you would a young child. But praise the Lord, you know, it was going to extend even to the Gentile people. And verse 13 tells us, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem, And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like a herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Oh my, praise the Lord. But yes, he's offering comfort. Oh, as a mother comforteth her child, you could say, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And yes, it's going to bring forth rejoicing. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going back to John 14 again. John 14. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus said, starting with verse 12 here in John the 14th chapter, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. He's going to put his spirit in his people so they could go forth and do his works. And greater works in a sense because they're multiplied. There's more than one, you know. He sends forth his spirit. And, oh, there are participants all over this earth. Praise the Lord. So greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And he says in verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Oh, praise the Lord. What privileges we have in the Lord Jesus. Verse 14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And of course, we see this condition, the need. Oh yes, if we love the Lord, we're going to keep his commandments. And they're not going to be grievous to us. We're going to want to do them. Oh yes, because we've given our hearts over to the Lord. And we're following Jesus. We're his disciples. We're under his discipline. Amen. But he goes on to say in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Oh, Jesus was only on this earth for a short tenure, 3.5 years of ministry. And then it was over, so you could say, as far as him walking this earth in person. But oh my, there's a plan here. Oh, the plan of God, yes. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Not for a short few years, but that he may abide, or make his abode, reside in you forever. Oh, praise the Lord. It's for now. It's for eternity. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. And he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, that he comes. Oh, yes, to make his abode in our very being, to lead us, to guide us. And he says, oh, my, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise the Lord. I shall be in you. I'm going to come in. I'm going to, you know, make my abode in your very being. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he says, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not into the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, praise the Lord, come and dwell in our very beings. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He said in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And yes, as we read it before, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, they were troubled. Those disciples that had followed him, you know, the thought that he was going to leave them was troubling, as it would have been to us likewise. But oh my, he's giving them a promise. Oh yes, you know, I'm going to send back the Comforter. I'm going to send back my Spirit. You know, I'm going to send forth the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh my, doesn't that tell us that, you know what we need to know? He knows how to give it to us. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to give us the knowledge that we need to make it through this world, to be prepared to go forth and do what we need to do. Oh, he knows how to lead us, how to guide us. Oh, how to give us that unction from the Holy One. You know how to speak to our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Holy Ghost didn't fall to the day of Pentecost. You know, Jesus, he had to ascend first. He was going to send back that Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. And they knew it when it happened. There was no mistake, folks. Oh, we can come up with a lot of theories. Oh, my. We can think a lot of different ways. But they knew when the Holy Ghost came upon them. For there was evidence. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, it tells us in the second chapter of Acts, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and wow! And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, yes, no confusion there as to what had happened. Oh, yes, that Holy Ghost came upon them, the Spirit of the departed one, the Lord Jesus, came upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And you could tell it because they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Peter went forth to say, you know, as he was preaching, and oh my, he wasn't cowarding at this moment. You know, he was as bold as a lion as he spoke forth, not minding what other people might think or what their reactions would be. But he told them, verse 16, Acts 2, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, God had poured out his Spirit all along, prophesied by the prophet Joel. Oh, my, long time before it actually happened. But it did. It happened on that day of Pentecost. And oh, yes, Peter realized it. And he said clearly, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. It wasn't going to be reserved for a special class of people or certain people or just for the men, just for the priest. No, it was going to be for your sons and for your daughters. Oh, all my servants and all my handmaidens, praise the Lord, all that the Lord our God shall call that promise, oh, to them that obey the words of life. Oh, yes. And as Peter revealed, as this chapter continues, and they had asked as they were pricked in their hearts, oh, verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter spoke it forth. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. That Holy Ghost, it wasn't just for them there at Pentecost. No, it was for those that were assembled there. And of course, there's a great crowd that's assembled around them as, you know, they gather around the 120 that initially receive the Holy Ghost baptism. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, but it was for them, and it was for their children, to all those that were afar off, oh, you know, way down the road, this Gentile people, oh, that the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Going back to Isaiah 66 as I close. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 13 again. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like a herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Oh my, he goes on to describe the day of the Lord. I think I have not time to go forth and finish this chapter, but oh, praise the Lord. There was great rejoicing. Oh, yes, when that which the prophet Joel had spoken forth and declared, oh, yes, as a comforter came into the hearts of his people, that which had been promised even years before for the prophet Joel. Praise the Lord, God sending forth his spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord as I close. Isaiah 12. Oh, I believe this references that great outpouring of God. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Praise the Lord, my Hoshua, my Jesus, in other words. And then verse 3 says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, he hath made us glad. Oh, we have much to rejoice on. That joy that we can draw forth that water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, the great gift of God. Oh, praise the Lord, the one who has come. And oh, we know he is looking for that individual that is poor. Speaking of humble and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Oh, praise the Lord, with that kind of heart, you can touch the heart of God. And oh, yes, you will hear the words of life and give your heart to Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and be a recipient of his great plan and purpose. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, we can rejoice in our God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord. Yeah. I pray that you'd pour out of your spirit. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would move in a mighty way, Lord. That your will would be done, oh, Lord Jesus, and that you would be glorified. Oh, let your will be done. Give hope to your people. Give that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, Lord, and help us, Lord, to come to thee. Oh, God, with that poor and contrite spirit, Lord. Oh, God, the one that troubleth at thy word. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I beseech thee, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Worship Him tonight. Praise our God. He's here. He's here to meet your needs. He's here, oh yes, to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you're good. Oh, and greatly to be praised, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnals and turn to number 56. We're going to sing The Comforter Has Come, number 56.
Tidings round, wherever it is found.
God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.